Welcome to Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This is Elder Neil Phelan, Jr., preaching for regular Sunday morning services.
And good to see each one of you here this morning. Good to see a good crowd in God's house this morning. I told Marilyn, I said, I don't know if anybody's coming back this Sunday after last Sunday's message. But to me, it was a loving admonishment to the people of our church to think about some things. And when you see people respond to it in the way you did, I think like the Apostle Paul did when he would write a letter to a church and they responded to it. And you can see that it's an evident token of your faith and your love for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is a blessing to see each one of you. I've enjoyed the song service. This is my favorite day of the week, especially when I get to see each one of you. Love you very much. And to be in God's house when we were singing the song, I feel like traveling on. I felt like traveling on. But I'm glad to be here in God's house and covet your prayers this morning. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. I'm going to read the first three verses. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now this morning I want to talk to you about seeing by faith. Now, when we're talking about faith, we usually refer to it in regards to our obedience or our duties. That person is a faithful person. Or I'm going to use my faith to accomplish a certain thing. And it is true that when it comes to a part of our faith, that we do use our faith to accomplish great feats in our life. Faith enables us to do things which otherwise we could not do. If it were not for faith, we would not have the ability to get up in the morning and come to God's house. We read in this chapter about the great accomplishments that some of God's people did through faith. In other words, in verse 2, it says that the elders, or the old ones, obtained a great report, a good report, by doing the things that God had asked him to do, and they did those things by faith. But there's another aspect of faith which has to do with our sight or seeing things. And of course, I'm not talking about our natural sight. I'm talking about spiritual sight. Faith gives God's children the ability to see spiritual things that are not seen by the natural eye. It is a spiritual grace that only God's people have or possess. Faith has to do with God, His world, who He wants to share His world with, what He wants us to know, and I might say for now, because by faith we see some things now, and when we get to glory, we're going to see some things that we are not allowed to see as yet. Because if we saw everything that God has prepared for us, we might just go ahead and check out and go on and be with the Lord, because it's going to be a great place. So by faith, we see some wonderful things, but we don't see everything that God has in store for us. It enables us to believe things that we do not see with the natural eye. There's a lot of things that we do not see with the natural eye that we know are true. So when it comes right down to it, we must have faith in order to believe. Now, that's a concept that is very particular to our people, because we understand that you must have faith to believe, while others would say, if you will believe, then you will become a child of God or be saved. But we see belief as an evidence of our salvation, a possession of faith, not something that we're required to do in order to obtain it. So when we say that we believe in things, or we see things with the spiritual eye that we do not see with the natural eye, then we understand that is a person who has spiritual life, or they are born of God's Spirit. So we're going to go into more of that in a little bit today. So with this grace of faith, we have the ability to feel, enjoy, participate, and give glory to God concerning the things that He has allowed us to see with the eye of faith. So today we're going to look at some scriptures that talk about invisible things that we see. And of course, we've got our criticisms from our skeptics that say, well, I want you to prove that there is a God because I can't see him. Well, we would say to that person, prove there is not a God, and then I will believe you. Or they will say, prove there is a heaven, and then we will say to them, you prove there is not a heaven. Prove you have a spirit, and I would say to them, prove I don't have a spirit. They want us to prove things, prove that God created the heaven and the earth, and I would tell them, you prove that God did not create the heavens and the earth. So we have plenty of arguments that are basically on the same category or the same level as their arguments, and we're not going to get into those today. When we're talking about seeing things by faith and the ability of God's people to see things that other people do not see, and yet for them to say, prove it, well, this argument is really not foreign or a foreign concept to us in our society or even in our language. For instance, we got people that can discuss math and that can discuss Pythagoras' theory or the theory of relativity. They understand all that stuff, yet we got some people that they don't know the multiplication table. So, you know, you've got people with different kinds of abilities or a musical ability. Dan was talking about reading the notes. Some people can hear a note and they know, oh, that's the key of E flat. And some people can't carry a tune. So, I mean, we've got these abilities or these things that are innate or maybe natural abilities that we have. But this is a spiritual ability that we're talking about. And when it comes right down to it, it divides people. There is a division in humankind or mankind. There are those people that have faith, and there are some people that don't have faith. There are some people that are born of God's Spirit. There are some people that are not born of God's Spirit. As the apostle said in one place, all men have not faith. So we're going to accept that as a truth, and the evidence of that truth is to see that there are some people that see spiritual things, and there are some people that don't see spiritual things. And so, to me, that is a great evidence of the fact that all men do not have faith. So it divides people. You remember after the great flood and they were going to build the Tower of Babel and they were going to do this great thing. Everybody spoke the same language. And God came down and confounded the language. And so men began to congregate and women began to congregate into the areas of the language that they spoke. What a strange thing that was. But really, it's true today. You can go anywhere and people that are congregating together are speaking the same language. And basically, that's what we're doing here this morning. We're speaking God's language. We're speaking things of faith. And we're here together to discuss our faith. So Paul wrote in this book of 2 Corinthians 4:13, he said, We having the same spirit of faith according as it is written. I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. So you and I talk about a world that we see and love and the people that are in it. And the way that we see those things is by faith. Now, I want to go to a couple of scriptures here before we get into the ones I want to give you and kind of show you this dividing line just a little bit. So this is a scripture that I go to a lot in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you want to look at this. Excuse me, 1 Corinthians chapter, chapter 2, verse 12. Here's the Apostle Paul, and he's making this delineation between a natural man and a spiritual man. He's making a delineation between a person who has faith and a person that does not have faith. He's making this difference between a person that can see spiritual things and a person that cannot see spiritual things. And once again, this is very particular to our people. And I would say to the scriptures, we are right about this because a natural man, a person who does not have faith, a person who is dead in trespasses and in sins, cannot possibly believe anything that I'm telling them that is spiritual from this book. They must be born of God's Spirit. They must be spiritually alive in order to receive the things of the gospel. That's why we don't believe the gospel gives spiritual life. We believe the gospel gives light. It brings life and immortality to light through the gospel, as Paul has said. And so this division here, the apostle gives us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, which everybody has received, but we have received something special. But the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. This is all the blessings of God, which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. But which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, that's a person dead in trespasses and in sins, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned or judged. So we receive things of the Spirit, which are invisible things, things that are not seen by the natural eye. So we see this invisible things that we understand. Now you might say, why are you saying all this? I'm building my case this morning before we look at invisible things. Because I want you this morning to consider with me some things that you see by faith that are invisible, that you believe just as much as you believe that you are here today. And it might even call upon you this morning to question how strong your faith is in those things. But it also may give you a great evidence of your calling, of something special that God has given to you in regeneration, that you have been using, that you may not, talent you don't even know that you have had, that God has given to you. And may I say one more little thing before we look at Hebrews 11 in depth. John Gill made this quote, and I believe it to be true, that faith is to the soul as the eye is to the body. So as your eye gives you natural sight, faith gives your soul spiritual sight. And so this is what we're talking about this morning. Now let's look at this Hebrews that we've read to you this morning. We're going to go on down through Hebrews and look at some other scriptures. But in chapter 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you have some evidence of your faith by believing in some things that are not seen. So I would ask you, do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in angels? Do you believe that there is such a thing as the Holy Spirit? Do you believe in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Do you believe that God created the heavens and the earth by speaking this place into existence? I do. Amen. I believe in all of those things. I believe in those things just as strongly as I'm standing here right now. If I didn't, what hope would I have that I would ever live with God in glory one day? Do you hope for that? Well, it's an evidence of your faith. If you believe that there is a heaven and there is a God there, that there is a Christ, then you are in possession of faith. How did you get that? God gave it to you by His grace. Amen. You didn't go to church and get it. You didn't get it from a preacher. You didn't get it by reading the Bible. You got it freely by God's grace. He gave it to you when you were born of God's Spirit. And as we begin this chapter, it's a look at verse 3. By faith, through faith, we understand the worlds, not just this world, but all the planets, the sun, moons, and stars, the whole solar system, everything in between it, were framed by the word of God, so that things are which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So this planet and all the planets were not made of pre-existing materials. God didn't go down to the store and buy a little box of clay, Play-Doh, and start making the planets and the earth and making all this stuff. He made it out of nothing. He just spoke it into existence. I mean, that's faith to believe something like that. Somebody might say, well, you know, that's kind of crazy. You Christians are kind of crazy. You're believing that kind of stuff, that God just spoke that into existence. Well, you know what? There's never been an atheist, an agnostic, or anybody else that's been able to explain it any better. They have no explanation. And when you start reading some of their stuff, even the scientist stuff, most of it is kind of like this. Well, we believe it could have happened like, or it may have been like this, or this could have happened. God doesn't say it could have. There are no could haves or it may have in God's word. He just says that's the way that it is. And if you have faith, then you have the ability to believe it and claim it. Amen. Otherwise, you're in the dark about it. Amen. So there are some things that I believe just as strongly as anything else, that I don't see with my natural eye. And the reason that I do is because I believe I am in possession of God's faith. I may not use it as strongly as I should. I'm sometimes like the apostles, Lord, increase my faith. I need faith every day. We get cast down and worried. We need faith. But it's by this that we see things. Now let's look at some of the things that look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things, what? Not seen. Verse 7. As yet moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, which by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, God told Noah he was going to destroy the world with a flood. It's going to rain, Noah. And Noah said, I've never seen rain. It had never rained before the flood. I mean, if you read Genesis chapter 1, you see this canopy of water surrounding the earth and the earth being watered by mist coming up out of the ground. A tropical rainforest basically all over the earth. But God said it's going to rain. Well, Noah had never seen rain before. It was something not yet seen. But yet he believed what God said. He moved with fear. Now, there's a lot of people that ought to be moving with fear right now by things God said is going to happen, because he's going to come back one day and burn this place up. You'd think that would cause some people to move. Most people are more afraid of the global warming than they are God's warming. They're more afraid, we're more about the things of the world than the things of God. Well, if God said the world's going to burn up, so I'm not surprised at that anyway. But he moved by things not seen as yet, and he condemned the world by that. Your faith condemns an ignorant world. Did you know that? The things that you believe that you do not see, and a person says, I don't see those things, you have just condemned that person in that world because you have faith. Noah went around preaching righteousness according to the scripture. He began going around and telling everybody, God's going to destroy the world with the flood. Now, if people would have listened to Noah, there would have been more than one boat. You know what I'm saying? Everybody would have been building a boat. They would say, I need a boat. Noah's building a boat. He said, God said the world's going to be destroyed with the flood. And so Noah's building this boat. He may be getting all the animals and his family, but I'm going to build a boat for my family. There'd have been a lot of people building boats if they would have believed Noah. We'll move on down a little bit further. And we see in verse 8 that Abraham saw something. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, went out not knowing whither he went. He sojourned in a land of promise, a strange place, it says. He had never seen this place. But God said, it's there. And if you'll go out, I'll give it to you. And I'm promising it to you. I'm promising you that you're going to be a blessing to all the kindreds of the earth, which, by the way, referred to Jesus Christ. And Abraham believed God and moved by faith. There's a lot of things that God promises to us, even here in this world, that if we will lay hold and cash in that check, that we can receive. God's house is one of those places. His kingdom is one of those places. Places that we must believe that's there and go there and enjoy the blessings that are found therein. And you go a little bit further and you see in verse 13 how this is kind of a comparison. Abraham going to a country he didn't see. It's kind of this comparison that you and I have as God's children, believing that there is a heaven or that there is a country on the other side of this life. Notice what he says here. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them, embraced them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You know, a stranger is somebody that's away from home. And a pilgrim is somebody that's looking for a home. And that's what we are down here. We're away from our home. Our home is not down here. It's up there. And we're looking for a home. We're pilgrims down here. We're looking for a better country. And that's what it says here. And then you look at Sarah in verse 11. God promised her a son. She had not seen him, but she believed God and she received strength to conceive a child. So you see that there are some things that God speaks about that we don't see. In Hebrews 11:27, here's another reference concerning Moses when God told him to leave or to stand up in the face of Pharaoh. It says in verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He endured as seeing him who is what? Invisible. God is an invisible God. God is a spirit. Therefore, they that worship him must worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. He is not like us. His thoughts are way beyond our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. There's things that he says that we cannot comprehend or understand. He doesn't do things the way we want him to do them. He doesn't do things in the order we want him to do those things. We're confused sometimes because it doesn't seem that God is moving on our schedule. But God is different than us. His ways are way above our ways. So there's a lot of invisible things. And when you're starting to talk about those things, let me ask you this morning. What about Abraham and Noah and Moses? Do you believe in them? Have you ever seen them? How do you believe in them anyway? By faith, right? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? How do you believe in him? By faith. Although we can prove he was a historical character, we can prove that a lot of these patriarchs, we've dug up stuff and read about them. And, you know, they are historical figures. But we believe everything that the Word of God has to say about them because we are in possession of faith. We can see by faith. Now, let's look at some things in specific. Like, for instance, God's Spirit. I've already referred to this Holy Spirit or God's Spirit, which is the third person. We usually refer to him as the third person in the Trinity. We believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because the Bible talks about all three of those things. There are some people that only believe in what they're called the oneness, but they have a lot of problems with the baptism of Jesus Christ, where God spoke from heaven and you got the Holy Spirit descending like a dove and you got Jesus Christ being baptized, pulling all that into one. But we believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when we're speaking about the Spirit, we understand that the Spirit is invisible, but yet we believe in the Spirit. Look at John chapter 3. This is the Lord speaking, and he is referring to the Holy Spirit. And he's speaking about and comparing the Holy Spirit to something that you are all very familiar with that you do not see, but yet you believe in it. And that's the wind. Now, there's everybody here believes in the wind. But have you ever seen the wind? No. You might have seen some dust in the wind, and that may be what we are one day. But you've never seen the wind. But you can feel the effects of the wind. You can see the work of the wind. And that's the way we are as God's children. We don't see the Holy Spirit. But my friends, if the Holy Spirit has ever convicted your heart of your sin, shown you that you are an unworthy sinner, given you a need in your heart for the Lord Jesus Christ, you have felt the effect of the Holy Spirit. Something that you cannot see. But you don't try to tell me the Holy Spirit doesn't exist, because I have felt the condemnation of the Holy Spirit in my own life. And I have felt the moving of the Holy Spirit to encourage me or make me desire to preach the Word of God or to look into the Word of God. If you've wanted to read the Scriptures, you've wanted to know about more about God's Word, if you've been hungry for truth, what did that anyway? It wasn't a television commercial that had tacos on there or something. I want to tell you, it was God Himself, the Holy Spirit, moving your heart and drawing you by His Spirit. So we see God, Jesus Christ, speaking about this invisible Spirit. John 3:3, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again," that means that he'll have faith, "he cannot," what? "See the kingdom of God." Amen. Can you see the kingdom of God with the natural eye? No. No. But you can see it by faith. I see it this morning by faith. Amen. I saw it in the song service. I see it right now in your faces. I see it in people wanting to know something about the Scriptures. I see the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you come a little further, look at 3:6. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh," that's the natural man, "and which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And then in verse 8, "The wind blows where it listeth," or that means where it pleases, "and you hear the sound thereof. You cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is everyone." Who? Everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, there's not any other way that people are born of the Spirit. It's by the immediate work of the Holy Spirit, sometime between conception and death. Nowhere in this text is a preacher mentioned, or a church, or a denomination, or a preacher, or anybody. It is God that does it sovereignly. Amen. And just as the Spirit blows, God's Spirit, or as the wind blows, God's Spirit blows upon His elect and gives them spiritual life. You don't see it, but you sure can feel it. You know, there are times that I believe the wind blows harder than others, don't you? But there are times that I can tell you that God's Spirit blows harder than others. There's times of great revival among God's people when you see churches packed and people affected by the Spirit of God, and they're hungry for the Word of God. And in even our own personal lives, there are times that I feel the Spirit is stronger in me. I feel a calling, a conviction. God's moving me somewhere. He's calling me to obedience. And my friends, if God ever does that to you, listen. Amen. That's the only way that He's going to speak to you, is through that Spirit. Be obedient to that call, whatever it is that God gives you. Well, what about angels? Do you believe in angels? We're not supposed to worship them. But do you believe in them? I believe there's angels. Yeah, I believe there's angels. The Bible talks about them. It talks about them watching over us. God's, they're messengers that send messages. They sent message to Mary. One spoke to her and said, "You're going to have a son. You shall bring forth," and spoke to Joseph, "She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins." You know, Gabriel spoke to Zacharias in the temple, telling him that they were going to have a son, and he was going to be John the Baptist. He would be great. So we believe in angels, but in Colossians, we find in 2:18, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." Some people, you know, they don't really believe in angels like we do. But yet, we sing songs about angels, even in our church. "God's angels encampeth round them that fear Him." Amen. And we do believe that God's angels camp about those that fear Him. In Colossians 1:16, it talks about God creating things. "By Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created by Him and for Him." God created a lot of things that you and I don't see. He created powers. You know, love is a great thing. You can't see love, but it's one of the greatest, most powerful things that you and I are in possession of. Love can motivate somebody to do something that they never could do otherwise. And if you've ever possessed love, you've been given, I would say, the greatest gift that anybody could ever have. First, to love God. And then to love your family and the people around you and God's children. Well, we spoke about heaven already, so do you believe in heaven? If you don't, you are of most men most miserable. If you do not believe in heaven, or a hope, if you have no hope of heaven, then you better have a good time while you're down here. Just go ahead and do anything you want and enjoy sin to its fullest pleasure. Go right ahead, because this is the only thing you got. But if you believe in heaven, then live like you're going to be there. You know, in 2 Corinthians, Paul makes this comparison about how that we look at something unseen, which is heaven, for our light affliction, he says. In other words, all the afflictions in this life, he says, are very light. And the reason that he can say that the pain and sorrow and suffering that we have in this life, regardless of how great that it may be. I mean, I think of people there's some people in our church that's gone through some really terrible trials over the last couple of years. You know, we've prayed for you. We love you. We know you're going through some trials. And we know they're not ended yet. But you look at Job and you see what that man went through. I mean, he lost children. He became sick unto death. He lost all of his possessions, his money, everything. Friends. They deserted him. But even all of that, compared to what you and I will have one day in heaven, is just a very light affliction. Notice what he says here. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things that are not seen are eternal. Now that tells me that as a Christian, when I'm going through the greatest trial, I'm supposed to be looking at things that are not seen with the natural eye. I need to be looking across Jordan. I need to be looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. I need to be looking at heaven and everything that's there. Because down here, even though we're going through trials that can seem like an eternity, it is really just for a moment. And it also tells me that when I'm reading this, that everything that you and I see with the natural eye is not permanent. Did you know that? Everything you see with your natural eye is going to be burned up and gone one day. But these things that you and I see with the spiritual eye are eternal. They will never fade away or disappear. And I love what Paul says in many of his epistles. He said, and I am persuaded that I will not be ashamed at these things. That means that you will not be disappointed. God didn't lie to you about them. They are really and truly there. Well, we think about God as being the God of creation. In Romans 1 and 20, God himself is invisible, as I've already said. But yet we believe in God when we speak of the Godhead, the creator of all things, the creator of this world. You think of some other gods that people worship, and I would ask them about their God. Did your God create this world? No, our God did. Our God created all this. Romans 1 and 20, it says, for the invisible things of him, here's the invisible, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The world and creation itself is a testimony that there is a God. Amen. If it is not, then I would like for somebody to really and truly tell me how it all got here. It got here because there is somebody that is powerful enough that has the ability to create something out of nothing, to speak it, and it will be done. That is what we believe, and we have the evidence because there it is out there. Go walk on it. God made it. And as much as the skeptics accuse us of believing in things not seen with the natural eye, they have no excuse or explanation of how all things came into creation. They are, as the scripture says, they are without excuse. That means they don't have an explanation. They have no arguments, no answers. We do. We have the answer. Now, when we think about things that are not seen, and I'm running out of time this morning, but this actually affects our behavior. Notice what the scriptures say about how that it affects our behavior. In John, or 3 John 1 and 11, John says, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Seen God. Now, that's a strange statement. Because I would ask you this morning, have you seen God? You may say, well, I've never really seen him. But by faith, I've seen him. Wasn't it Moses that said that he wanted to see God? And God said, no, I'll place you in the cleft of the rock. And I'll show you my hinder parts. Well, you know, Christ is our rock. We're placed in him. And that's how we see God. A lot of times we don't see God like right now. But we see God because of what he did a minute ago, or yesterday, or last week. or an experience we had. A lot of times we see his work, we see his hinder parts. We don't see him right up front. We can't see him with the natural eye. But we can say, wow, that happened to me. I had that experience. I felt that. God was there. I was convicted. God was there. I saw his hinder parts. There he was. We saw God. In 1 John 3:6, John also writes, "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him." So if you've seen him with the eye of faith, then you know him. You know he's there. You know he's convicted you. You know you have a relationship with him. You know he loves you. You know you are a part of his life. He's given you something that a lot of people don't have. He's given you the ability to look into his world, to see some things that other people may not see. Now, we think of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I would ask you this morning, have you seen Jesus? Well, I know you haven't seen him with the natural eye. If somebody tells you they saw Jesus with the natural eye, then I would tell you to maybe listen to somebody else. But I believe you have seen Jesus. In 1 Peter 1:8, Peter says, is speaking to people. Now, Peter saw Jesus, didn't he? All the apostles saw Jesus. They heard his sermons. They saw his miracles. They saw his suffering, his passion, which gave them great force to be a witness for Jesus Christ. They had kind of an edge, you might say. And that was one of the qualifications to be an apostle. You must have seen the Lord Jesus Christ. We find in Acts chapter 1. But Peter says this in 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I wonder how many hundreds of thousands of millions of people who have not seen Jesus Christ with the natural eye have rejoiced in seeing Jesus Christ through the eye of faith. I don't think that many people could be wrong. Now, there's a few people that believe in the man in the moon, but not that many. There's a few people that believe in Martians, but not that many. You know, you stop thinking about the number of people that believe in Jesus Christ, seeing him by the eye of faith. It must be a real thing. It must be a real thing. In Colossians 1:15, it says this about Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. That's what Christ was when he walked down here. He was God manifested in the flesh. He was God with us, Emmanuel. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Invisible things. Finally, this morning, let's consider a person who had some doubts. We refer to him as Doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas. You remember Doubting Thomas? After our Lord was crucified, after he rose from the grave, he began to appear unto his people, his apostles, and others. Over 500, by the way, saw him at one time. But Thomas was doubting. Even though Christ had made all the promises that he was going to go before them in Galilee and rise from the grave, Thomas was still doubting. He said, except I see the nail prints in his hands and feet and touch him, I will not believe. He's kind of a hard case, you might say. He wanted great evidence of it. But you know, the thing about it is the Lord gave him that evidence, didn't he? Amen. He appeared one night to them, and Thomas was able to touch him. He said, my Lord and my God. He believed. But in John 20:29, Jesus said unto them, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Are you in that category?
Amen.
You're a very blessed person. Very, very blessed person. My final verse is in 1 Timothy 1 and 17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I thank you for your attention this morning. If you're here today, you want to be a part of this church, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing.
Thank you for visiting Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This has been Elder Neil Phelan, Jr., preaching for regular Sunday morning services.